Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Al Morales, and this morning's conversation is with FAA CIO David Bowen. Also joining us in our conversation is Pete Boyer, director in IBM's Federal Consulting Practice. Dave, what are some of the organizational priorities for 2007 at the FAA?
Well, Al, it kind of takes us back to the topic that we talked about the scope of the office, basically coordinating activities across the agency. We have a number of things on the docket, if you will, for 2007. A lot of things around cost efficiencies, cost effectiveness, establishing standards, taking dollars out of our infrastructure operations so that we can put them to better use in doing more customer-focused things. We're looking at consolidating some of our data centers. We have a number of those and think that we could get that number down. We've got a number of points where we touch the web, and that's a concern for us not only from a cost standpoint but also from a security standpoint, and we want to reduce those. We've got an objective around reducing servers. And then the other thing I feel very strongly about, and that is we need to work on where our next generation of IT professionals is going to come from. To that end, I've had some input from my staff that they would like some assistance with career planning, career development. We have some programs to bring new blood into the agency. We want to beef those up. And then obviously to continue to protect our systems from cyber incidents. When I got to the agency, I embarked on a program that I called Meet, Listen, and Learn for the first 100 days that they talk about, the first 100 days in government. And that was really to go around the agency and talk to people, find out what they were thinking about IT, what their issues were, how IT supported their business needs or didn't, if you will. It gave me the opportunity to get out and really see at ground level what was going on, what people were doing. I got to a number of regions. I was at our aeronautical center in Oklahoma City. I was at our technical center in Atlantic City. I went to Alaska. I flew airplanes up onto glaciers and helicopters and did all kinds of neat stuff. And then came back and was charged by the administrator to develop a strategy for moving IT forward. And so I presented her this strategy around the Memorial Day timeframe. She approved it, asked me to make sure that I ran it by all the other line of business executives. And so finally in July, she came out with an endorsement of our strategy. The strategy basically consists of five components, and they all start with C. This kind of comes from my pilot training. When you're learning to fly, at least general aviation, they tell you if you get into trouble, there are four C's that you need to remember. That's climb, communicate, confess, and comply. So this strategy is built around five C's, and the five C's are confirm, comply, consolidate, construct, and communicate. So
I noticed you left confess out.
Yeah, right.
That's for later.
So what we're trying to do is, first thing we're trying to is to confirm our standards, our infrastructure standards, and then secondly, develop processes to enable us to make sure that going forward, the new stuff at least that we built begins to comply with those standards. So that's point number two. Third point is consolidation, and we talked about that, infrastructure, data centers, servers, et cetera. The fourth thing refers to the construction of a career development plan for the staff and start focusing on some of the staff issues. And then finally, the fifth point, as always, you need to communicate. You need to communicate what you're doing, your successes, et cetera. So that's the go-forward strategy for the time being. We may change it over the next year or so, but for now, that's kind of what we're working off.
I'm excited to see that you've identified the human capital challenges as a priority of yours. I know that many of the organizations and agencies are struggling with that piece, but I'd like to get that a little bit later. How has the FAA assisted the Department of Transportation in becoming the first cabinet-level agency to achieve green in the PMA's e-government area?
Well, I'd like to take credit for that, but unfortunately, it was all done by my predecessor, Dan Meehan. Dan, back in 2004, 2005, when this initiative first came out, was very aggressive in getting together with our IT security manager, Mike Brown, and the two of them put a huge push on throughout the agency to get our systems certified and authorized in 2004 primarily, and then moving into 2005. Under the eGov initiative, we had to have 90% of our systems reviewed in 2004 and certified, and working with our line of business staffs, we were actually able to beat this percentage, whereas we had, I think it was 95%. 5% was the eventual percentage that we were able to get done in 2004, and then took that to 100% in 2005. And so at that time, we had over 275 systems, and it's certainly a credit to Dan and his efforts as well as to the folks across the agency to be able to get that done. And that was a big factor in the DOT being able to achieve that green rating in the PMA initiative.
On a similar topic, Dave, to help the effort to control costs, the FAA has embarked on an important agency-wide strategic sourcing initiative. This initiative is called Strategic Sourcing for the Acquisition of Various Equipment and Supplies, or the SAVES program. Could you describe the SAVES initiative and how it relates to your office?
Sure, Pete. I'm glad you defined what SAVES actually stood for. It is a pretty long title. I had to go back and research it myself. The SAVES program, I would describe it as a managed and highly structured reverse auction of standardized packages of goods and services. Currently, we're packaging goods and services into a couple of different buckets. One is around office supplies, one is around office equipment, one is around courier services, one is around printing services, and one is around IT network equipment. And so we are gathering specifications for these goods and services together. We are putting out proposals on the street for vendors to bid on those services. We have a sort of a web-based reverse auction, which a lot of people are doing these days. And then we're awarding qualified vendors who are aggressive in their pricing and bidding the ability to have contracts with us for these standard sets of services. We are right now partway through this program. A couple of contracts have been let. A number of RFPs are still out there on the street. But we do expect to save about 14% across the board or $5 million on these services annually. At least we expected to do that when we put the program together. Our first two contracts, I will tell you, are doing much better than that. So we're very excited about this initiative and look forward to the savings that we think it'll generate.
Now, we talk with many of our guests about the use of collaboration and partnership among agencies and with the private sector to achieve mission results. What kind of partnerships are you developing now to improve IT operations or outcomes at FAA, and how do you see these partnerships changing over time?
Well, in my commercial experience, I did a lot of this collaboration. I actually chaired an organization that was comprised of all the Blue Cross Blue Shield CIOs from around the country. So this is very consistent with the style in which I like to operate and find out what other people are doing and not reinventing the wheel. So we can currently collaborate with a lot of different organizations, both inside and outside the government. We share data with them. We share methodologies. And in return, get a lot of benefit from that. Let me talk about two areas specifically. One is the IT security area. Here we can cooperate with the various intelligence and security agencies of the federal government. We collaborate also with air traffic control organizations outside of the government, outside the United States, those being Canada, Mexico, also with what we call Eurocontrol. And we're in the final throes of signing an agreement with NATO for the sharing of data relative to IT security practices and procedures and alerts. We also collaborate in the same area with various companies in the private sector who supply us technology, and also as well with large universities who are assisting us in developing state-of-the-art technologies around IT security. Outside of the IT security area, the air traffic control area is an area where we obviously cooperate with NASA, the Defense Department, and others. And we also cooperate with the private sector companies as well, particularly in the development of what we call the next generation air traffic control system. We're sharing data with the National Geospatial Agency and others, and I think going forward, we're going to see much more data sharing, much more collaboration with agencies like the Department of Homeland Security, Defense Department, increasing cooperation with our customers in the commercial airlines, and certainly private sector companies in making use of their resources and sharing information with them.
Dave, earlier you mentioned one of the priorities was around cost efficiency, and we talked a little bit about some technologies. What are some examples of potential new technologies that may help the FAA manage itself more effectively?
Well, Al, this is really a terrific question because there is so much new technology coming into aviation. It's unbelievable. A lot of things we're seeing actually being deployed in the general aviation community before it gets into the commercial aviation community. So there's so much stuff happening. It makes it a very interesting time to be a part of the FAA. Let me talk about some of these technologies. Probably first and foremost is what we call ADS-B, which is Automated Dependent Surveillance Broadcasting. Basically, what this is it's based on GPS technology, like you're seeing in your cars, where the car knows where it is. But ADS-B goes a step further and basically says, I'm a GPS receiver, I'm operating in an airplane, and I'm going to be broadcasting my position not only to ground-based stations but to other aircraft who may be operating in the area. And because of this, we can then reduce the separation between aircraft because we now have a much better idea of exactly where in space that aircraft is operating. Before, we had to make allowances for the variability around radar, and so now that can be reduced. What that means is that we can pack more airplanes into a given airspace, and that is consistent with our capacity goal from our flight plan. But not only that, it means that we can actually do that more safely because the aircraft now know where each other, where they all are, and where all the other aircraft are, and then the aircraft can actually assist the ground-based controller in seeing and avoiding other aircraft operating in its airspace. I've flown some aircraft with this technology up in Alaska, and it's really interesting to see what you can do with that. That's one technology that's going to be a real cornerstone for some of the new air traffic control capabilities that we're working to develop. Some other technologies include what we call ASDEX, A-S-D-E-X. It's basically a surface radar that just like operates on the airport, looks across the airport surface to see where aircraft are operating. There is a new technology coming out called synthetic vision. We're actually seeing this being deployed in some general aviation aircraft. And if you really stop and think about it, it's really neat because the GPS receiver knows where it is and it knows where, let's say, the airport is or the runway that you're trying to land on as a pilot. Unfortunately, you can't see the runway because there's clouds in the way or it's night or raining or whatever. But because the GPS knows where the runway is relative to your position, the GPS can construct a visual image of what that runway would look like if, in fact, you could see it. So you can basically shift your attention to flying CRT display screen that will bring this runway into your field of vision digitally, even though you can't see it outside, and enable you to land on it. Basically sort of like Microsoft Flight Simulator. So that's pretty neat, and you're starting to see that. We also flew in Alaska some new equipment that looks at not only where the airplane is currently, but again through GPS, where the airplane is projected to be. It's called trajectory projection. And there is an indicator that goes ahead of the airplane and says in a minute or a minute and a half or 2 minutes from now, if you currently are on your course and speed and altitude, this is where you're going to be in space. And that's very helpful in Alaska for terrain avoidance and things like that, so that if somebody makes a turn, again, the GPS knows how high it is and it knows how high the terrain is, and it can alert the pilot if you're turning into terrain that's actually higher than you are. This kind of technology has been in use in the military for a while now, but is just now coming into use in the general aviation area. So those are some new technologies that we're really excited about.
It is fascinating, exciting. What is the FAA's IT investment and capital planning process? We will ask David Bowen, Assistant Administrator for Information Services and FAA's Chief Information Officer, to explain this to us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.